my pleasure to welcome a dear old friend of mine. I think he's in Sweden. Who knows? He may be on a yacht in the Mediterranean. Matt Sundin, he's getting packages delivered, and we're happy that it's arrived and he's arrived. Matt, how are you today? Thanks for doing this, pal.
Very good, Joey. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, how are you? How you been? I haven't talked to you in a little while.
Everything is good. Last time I saw you, I think I didn't have any kids, and now I got three in the last 4.5 years. So we're busy over here, Joey.
Yeah. You guys have been doing the horizontal mambo, as it goes. How is it to be a dad? I mean, it's got to be pretty rewarding.
It's great. But I thought the National Hockey League was tough until I got three kids, you know, and two of them are still in diapers. So we're busy. I'm getting older as we speak.
So tell me, what's the biggest challenge? Is it sleep?
It's a mix of things, you know. Everybody, you know, it's the best thing that they can get, I guess. But at the same time, it's also a lot of work. So, yeah, getting less sleep, I think, is the biggest change. And you realize you should get kids when you're young. That helps too, I think, with the energy and everything.
All right. So I was talking to Ty, and I saw some pictures on Instagram. You guys vacationed together. Where were you? It was off the coast of Italy or Corsica, it looked like.
Yeah, our old friend Ty got married a few weeks back, and we had a little trip after that. So we were in Italy a little bit, and we had some good time, and we were in France for a few days. So really nice. And same with Ty, you know, for 11 years, he had my back, protecting me on the ice. So it was really nice to spend some days with him. As you know, everybody's spread out around the world and you don't get to see each other so often. So it was very nice to spend time with Ty.
So what occupies your time now? I know I think the last time I actually saw you was during the World Cup of Hockey, and you were working with the Swedish team, and I saw you at Harbor 60. And so what occupies your time now? Are you still working with the Swedish team? What are you doing?
Well, you know what? No, it was a one tournament thing.
Okay.
And I really enjoyed it. It was great to be part of Team Sweden as an advisor for Rickard Grönborg and his staff. But, since retiring from hockey, I haven't spent a whole lot of time around hockey, except for some youth hockey and some charity things over in Sweden and also some stuff in Toronto. But it's been nice. You know, you're so involved with the game, and obviously I still love the game of hockey, but it's been nice for me to take a few steps back and reflect, and also we start a family. So, and since moving back here, doing some other things, so I've been really busy, but not so much with hockey since retiring.
And let's talk about retiring. Our guest is Matt Sundin, of course, who is one of the greatest Maple Leafs of all time, and a guy that gave his all for the city when he played here. And Matt, let's talk about the adjustment after hockey. I've been talking to our friend Scott McKay, who's involved with Glenn Healy and the NHL alumni, who, to be completely frank, is some of these guys retire, don't have a lot of money, don't know what to do, don't have any skills. It's not easy when you retire, is it?
No, and I think it's a big adjustment. And I think with the alumni, the National Hockey League alumni has a big job to prepare players, because we all know professional sports career are short. If you're lucky, you know, an average career, I think it's not even 5 years. And you need to really try to save and understand that you need that money to build on the rest of your life and your career. So I think the first year is always an adjustment for people. And I think the biggest advice I can give, too, is like I said, you have to reflect on that your professional career as a professional athlete is very short. And you have to try to get some momentum out of that to try to find something great to do the rest of your career as well.
So we had Wendell on yesterday, Wendell Clark, and we were talking about the trade when you came to Toronto from the Quebec Nordique, and it was a trade that featured you, Garth Butcher, one touch, as we like to call Todd Warner, and a 1994 first round draft pick. And the one touch story, for those of you who don't know, I think it was when the late great Pat Burns. You know that story, right, Matt?
I do. I was right in the dressing room.
Yeah, tell the story of how he got the nickname One Touch.
Well, I think after the first period of playing in New Jersey, we were down one or two goals, and one of the goals actually Todd Warner. A good friend. I don't like to talk. Hopefully he's not listening. But he got the puck on down the boards in our own end, and he tried to make a one-touch pass into the centerman. I can't remember who it was. One of the Jersey players picked it off, went in and scored. And we got into the dressing room. I think it was Pat Burns. Yeah, you're right. The late Pat Burns at the time. He came in the dressing room, and Todd Warner was kind of sitting behind the door where Pat walked in our dressing room. And Pat's kind of, you know, monitoring the room. He's looking around the room, and he says, where's one touch, he says. And he can't. We all know he's looking for Todd Warner, but Todd Warner was kind of hiding behind the door that was open. And finally, Todd says, I'm over here. And Pat Burns says, there's two players in this league that can make a one-touch pass out of his own end into the sentiment. Last time I checked, it wasn't you. You're not one of them. One is Wayne Gretzky, and the other one is Mary Lemieux. Last time I checked, you're not one of them.
That's so awesome.
It was a funny story.
Yeah, what a great story.
That, his name was One Touch.
Yeah. Great. Hey, it's funny how guys get nicknames, right?
Yeah.
So, Matt, let's talk about that trade, because we got Wendell's perspective being the guy sent to Quebec, but you were sent to Toronto. How shocked were you? What was it like? It wasn't in the age of social media. It wasn't in the age even where everyone had a cell phone. How did you find out about the trade? How did you feel?
Well, I was actually up in northern Sweden on a fishing trip and found out up there, and actually at the same time skating at Börje Salming's hockey school that he had at the time up in Kiruna, northern Sweden. So it was kind of a shock, obviously, but at the same time, I was remembering I was very happy to go into to a hockey market like Toronto and a fantastic hockey city. And I got to talk to Börje Salming right away, and he told me, you're going to love the experience of playing in Toronto and one of the greatest franchises in hockey history and represent the Maple Leafs. So for me, it was obviously an adjustment, but at the same time, I was really looking forward to coming to Toronto.
Talk about some of your memories in Toronto. I mean, you played here for the majority of your career, and you had a team that went really deep in the playoffs, and you guys came close. You went to the conference finals a couple of times. You had some really great players, and you guys were very tight as a group. And, you know, you got to play with Doug Gilmore, who we know you're good friends with Ty Domi, a bunch of other guys. Yeah. And tell us about your memories of those teams and playing in Toronto.
Well, for sure, like you said, I spent 13 years in Toronto and really the best, absolutely best part of my career, obviously. I still consider, when I come to Toronto, I really see it as my home. And what a pleasure to play in a city where the whole city and even Canada cares about how the franchise is doing. It was really a pleasure. And also being the captain for the Toronto Maple Leafs, what a huge honor. And, you know, you look at some of the years we had, we really had great teams. 2004, I think we broke the regular season record for points in a season, and we had a game winning streak that was over 13 or 14 games. I can't really remember, but we had some great teams. The thing I think you miss is the most as you retire is just being in the dressing room, coming down to the rink and going to practice or a game. And we had some great dressing rooms over those years, and we had a lot of fun just practicing and playing. And that's what I think we had some good teams back in the days too.
Who was the toughest player to play against for you? Is there someone that stuck out as far as I got to play this guy again tonight?
Well, there's a lot of great. I think you have to look at defense, obviously, as a forward and as a centerman. You have to play against some of the best. But Ray Bourque was always a great competitor, and we had our battles. I remember over the years, Scott Stevens, obviously, we met them a few times in the playoffs. He was a real true competitor as well and tough to play against. So I would say those two guys really sticks out as tough defensemen that you have to play night in and night out and shift every shift also in the playoffs.
Now, as far as your style of play, and we just got a couple more minutes here. As far as your style of play, you know, you were one of those guys that made things look so easy that at times it was, you know, you looked effortless, but you battled really hard. And I don't think you got enough credit for your physicality because you were a tough guy to play against because you scored. But tell me, how did you change? How did you evolve over the course of your career? Did you do it consciously or did you just see the league change and you had to adapt?
Well, it's I'm not sure. I think as a young player coming into the league, I was playing at a lighter weight, and I was not as didn't have the muscle mass maybe to play the style of game that it was in the mid 90s, and obviously the big change of the game came maybe at the end of my career, where the last 3 or 4 years the league really clamped down on the hooking and clutch and grab, and we got rid of that out of the game, which has been great for the game. And so that was kind of the later part of my career. So I really think that the most part of my career I played against the clutch and grab era, where there was a lot more battles and hooking and holding going on over the ice, and was more of a half wrestling than hockey. So I feel fortunate to be part of the last few years where they try to get rid of the clutch and grab, and also now you see how the game evolves, and because we're getting rid of that, the speed of the game has gone up, and it's a really skilled game now, where you see all four lines on each side really skating and able to put all this talent and move that you want to see on a hockey game, and you really see that in the game today.
Last question before we let you go. What's it like to be on Legends Row, have your number retired? How does that feel, and how do you look upon that honor?
Well, I was with my daughter. I brought my daughter to when we had the statue and being part of that monument. Just, I think, when you reflect back on your career as a Swede as well, I'm so proud and honored to be part of the Toronto Maple Leafs history and Legends Row, and forever have my banner up among all the superstars that passed through and legends that passed through the Air Canada Centre, the Maple Leaf Gardens, and also being part of the Legends Row. So I'm really proud, and that is my career. Being part of the Toronto Maple Leafs and the history of the Leafs is something I'm going to be proud of the rest of my career.
Mats, thanks a lot for doing this. I hope I bump into you again soon. Say hi to your family, and all the best going forward, pal. Thank you for being on the radio with me.
We'll see you soon. Thanks for having me, Joey.